RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Welcome to Culinary CPR with Dr. Mike and Chef Luca. My guest and kitchen companion, Chef Luca Paris, executive chef, owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, located in downtown Keene, New Hampshire, also runs the market at Luca, where you can get and take home all the delicious ingredients and treats that he uses in the restaurant. He's been all over the map. He travels around the country teaching folks how to cook well and properly. He pretty much owns Food Network when he was on there, kicking butt all over Guy's Grocery Games. Without any further ado, Luca, welcome back into the kitchen, my friend.
Big man, it's great to be here, and I love hanging out with you, talking recipes, talking good food. And today we're taking a page out of your book, literally and figuratively. We're taking a page out of your book where we're talking about a true Italian Mediterranean staple, cod. And, you know, it's well known in the northeast of the United States. There's a lot of Atlantic cod around. But merluzzo, or cod, and whether it was dried back in the ancient days to keep it preserved. But no matter what, we it's been around forever, and it's an amazing fish, and I'm going to show you a quick, easy preparation for it where you could use the items for it for different reasons. And it's a fish I really love because it's flaky, it's tender, it's just succulent. It's perfect to cook with. So we're going to have some fun with that today.
And it's got, just as you said, a great flavor profile. And it's also one of those deep water, cold water fishes. So it's just loaded with all these tremendous benefits. It's one of those fishes, say, for example, unlike tilapia, which really doesn't have a whole lot of the omega-3s, cod is a great source of those really important anti-inflammatory omega-3 essential fatty acids. And I've got to get you to do this because, like, you're a real Italian, and you just give me goosebumps when you speak Italian. So can you read the pan-seared cod with tomato caper salsa, or in Italian, and go?
It's called merluzzo con salsa di pomodoro e capri. And it's basically exactly what you said.
It sounds like It sounds like I should be paying more for that, just because I'm willing to pay more for that just to hear you say it in Italian.
Well, here's the funny part. I put it on the menu as the merluzzo con salsa di pomodoro, and I get to charge $1 more, so it doesn't hurt either. So, and then when I thought, when you see it on the bottom, you said, holy crap, you just made a tomato bruschetta topping and you put it on whitefish? I said, yes, I did. But that's it. That's the marvel of true Italian cooking, and we bring it up all the time, but Mediterranean cooking and Italian cooking, when I go into the kitchen and I'm working in there every day, and I'm working with a lot of new kids, and when they come in and they hear what my dishes are, and then they see me prepare them when I'm showing them for the first time what we're making, they go, look, that seems really easy. And I said, yeah, it is easy, because it's not supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be flavorful. You're supposed to have the right ingredients. And I know we sound like broken records when we talk about it, but you can't stress that anymore. So teaching a young kid coming up the ranks cooking and telling them, well, you don't have to go and make this into a foam, or this into a this, or this into a that, or buy these ingredients and do this molecular gastronomy. You can make food taste good with just basic stuff. And if you said it in English, you'd be like, wow, dude, that's the crazy. I use cod sometimes for, you know, fish and chips. Well, I could use cod and make it a dish that is remarkable. So I really love showing this off. And when you have it the first time, it's tantalizing. It's mouthwatering. It just excites you to no end because of all the flavors in there. So
the key here is really getting, make sure you get the fresh fish, because this is sort of the star here. And you want to make sure, you know, you don't want, you know, some frozen half limp, you know, that's been sitting in the preserving liquid for half a week. And I always tell people when they ask, well, you know, how do I know if it's fresh, particularly, you know, if I'm getting a fillet and maybe, you know, you can't check the gills and so forth. Fish, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is right. Fish is the only food that you should not eat if it smells like what it is. So exactly. Fresh fish should never smell like fish.
Well, if you open a package or someone hands you a piece of fish and you smell it before it comes to you, then you've done something. Something's wrong with it. It's gone bad, and that's the serious thing. I mean, mussels in that capacity, one of the first things you could tell is just how they smell. If you smell salt water, you smell the ocean, you're okay. If you smell fish, that thing's been dead for too long, and you want to not even try it. You know, and so, with lobster, you get that ammonia smell. There are signs for this. I mean, it's there for a reason. Those smells, because it'll tell you, don't use me. And that's exactly it. You smell fish, don't eat it.
and so what are we? So if we can run down the recipe real quick, what are we going to combine? So we've got this, you know, absolutely fresh, firm, smelling like the ocean itself. You know, fillet of cod, and what are we going to add to it?
So the cod is one thing, and what's great about us in New England is we get these North Atlantic cod from time to time, and that season's going to start coming in its own. But the other thing to put with it is you don't want to do too much of the fish. Salt, pepper, sear it quickly, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But we take cherry or grape tomatoes, about a pint, some capers, rinsed and chopped. I use the ones in the vinegar. If you use the salted ones, definitely rinse them. You don't want to bring in too much of their own salt. Fresh oregano, balsamic vinegar, shallots, Kalamata olives, or if you have a blend of olives you like, use those. Fresh parsley. I love pepperoncini. Now, what I do with the pepperoncini, we do about a quarter cup, but instead of just taking them out of their brine and chopping them up, I take them and I roast them. You could pan roast them to get just a little bit of oil on them and then get some color to it, or you could pop them in the oven with a little oil, but that just brings them to a whole nother level. You're adding nuances to this brined pepperoncini that weren't there before, and it really helps your salsa. Salt and black pepper, and that with the oil that you have, your balsamic vinegar, a little bit of oil, that's all you need to do. If you want to add in some other herbs, you can as well, but it's the capers, the tomato, the olives, and the pepperoncini, that little salsa is going to give you spicy, it's going to give you sweet, it's going to give you salty, and it's going to bring it all together. And that, on this whitefish that we're going to prepare, will just be enhanced. The whitefish becomes almost like the palette where we're going to be painting on, and then the salsa becomes what we've painted on there. And the two of them together just marry perfectly.
And I love the pepperoncini aspect, because it adds a little bit of heat, but you're not too much. And for folks, if you're unfamiliar, these are those sort of yellowish, light green, you know, pickled peppers you often see at the deli. And here's another great way that you can use them. You know, they're just not a side condiment for the hoagie when you get it at the deli. Here's a great use for them, and I love the idea of roasting it, because that really brings in a little bit of that that kind of char flavor, changes the texture a little bit, and as you said, you get sort of that sweet acid from the vinegar, spicy acid from the pepperoncini, and I think that this, again, you know, you've given us a wonderful kind of really neat Italian fresh salsa that can be used on stuff, you know, throughout the year, you know, any
everywhere.
Kind of season when you can get these. You can use it on just about anything. It's absolutely, you know, phenomenal. I mean, you could take this stuff, just put it on a little bread, grate a little fresh Gran Padano cheese, if I'm saying that correctly.
And, you said it perfectly.
Which, by the way, folks, just 30 grams of that Gran Padano cheese, a recent study, I got to share this with folks because it blew my mind. Just 30 grams of that a day controlled hypertension to the same degree as putting somebody on a prescription medication. So when we put somebody on prescription medication, we're looking for like around five millimeter mercury drop. You know, that's generally what you see in the studies. They got the same thing giving folks a good aged Italian cheese. Can you imagine that? And how much tastier is it eating that than taking a pill every day?
I would do that tomorrow. Well, actually, I do that every day, so let's not even go there. but here, you know, here's a funny thing, and I've always wanted to ask you, and maybe I'm putting us on the spot on air, but maybe we should be talking about this more. But we're going back over 25 years ago, a lady who worked for me in my first deli at an Italian gourmet, Salumeria, back when I was 21, 22, 23. I had this deli, and, And her husband had a heart attack. A slight one. He was feeling okay afterwards with her stroke. I don't remember what it was. But he went to the doctor, and he said, I can't get rid of cheese. I need to have cheese in my diet. And the doctor said to him, as long as it's an aged cheese, like a Parmigiano or a Grana Padano or the Pecorino, because he said they were healthier and I don't even know. I just went by that, and I tell everybody. So you telling me that this is not a bad thing? I'm like, wait a second. Maybe this guy was right 20-something years ago. But I'm sure there's other nuances in it and when you can and can't have it. But, I mean, does that kind of fall in line with what you're talking about?
Well, you know, I think, and we sort of diverge for a minute, but I think this is important because there's so many cheeses that are such a part of a Mediterranean approach. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, we don't do dairy. Well, you don't drink the fresh milk, but there's a whole host of cheeses, and particularly the aged cheeses, because they're a natural, wholesome, living, fermented food product, we're finding out they have these whole amazing range of benefits, from containing compounds that actually suppress cholesterol. And now remember, we're telling people to eat a food that's predominantly, along with the probiotics, but other than that, it's predominantly protein, fat, saturated fat, and super rich in cholesterol. And yet you see improvement in cholesterol profiles. And one of the interesting things is that it doesn't change the lipid profile in any kind of negative way. And they looked at folks eating different kinds of aged cheeses, real cheeses. So guys, you know, this is not stuff that you spray out of a can somewhere that's, you know, neon orange and glows in the dark. But this is real cheese. They found that it decreased levels of something called TMAO, which is a product that's made by the gut microbiome, and the levels of that in our blood directly correlate to the development of cardiovascular disease, to diabetes, to chronic kidney disease. Right. And when we eat the things that are in the Mediterranean approach, which is the cheeses you mentioned, plus also wines, plus also certain types of olive oil, plus also, believe it or not, in this recipe, balsamic vinegar, we find that we change the gut microbiome and suppress the levels of TMAO.
See, this Mediterranean diet, there was a reason for it all these years. And it's
I think it was because it's so darn good. I mean, I eat that food every day. I mean, it's so, as you said, the thing I love about it is the freshness, and particularly, you know, again, this recipe you've given us with the salsa is just so fresh. And why don't we real quick, just if you could, just walk us through how to do that salsa, which is, you know, utilitarian for a bunch of different proteins.
And then really basically in a medium bowl, we're going to mix the tomatoes, capers, pepperoncini that we've roasted, the parsley, the oregano, vinegar, and olives, toss it in with some salt and pepper. And I like to say do it a couple hours in advance when you're going to do it. And I also, now if now you've made the salsa, you could do it, you could keep it for a couple of days, you know, straight through the week and use it on salads if you want, or on chicken, or as an addition to a sandwich. It goes great with anything. But what I always tell everybody is that's something you want to leave out for at least a half hour or 45 minutes at room temperature before you're using it as your condiment for the fish. When it's cold, and I see that with a lot of stuff, we've talked about cheeses. When cheeses are really cold, you don't get all the flavor. When the salsa is cold, you don't get all the flavor. You want the flavors to come down. It's a lot like when we drink wine. It's too cold, you're not going to taste anything. Too warm, it's just this right in the middle, not quite room temperature, but not chilled. And when you put it on the fish, it's going to be a hot fish. It goes great. The same thing as the salsa. And then with the fish, it's really simple. Dredge it in a little bit of flour, shake off the excess, heat oil in a pan. If you're not used to cooking fish, I recommend using nonstick pans for that, a good quality nonstick pan, because you're not, and make it oven-proof too, the whole skillet, so you could pop it in the oven to finish. But you just add the fish, and you cook without touching it until it browns and releases easily from the pan. That's a whole little trick. The fish will tell you when it's ready to be flipped. If you try to flip it before, or you have too much, too little oil in the pan, you're going to have it stick. It's not going to work well. Well, once you flip the fish about 3 minutes in, you add a little bit of white wine and lemon juice just to keep it moist while it cooks. You could pop it into the oven if you have a oven-proof pan, just like that, another 3 to 6 minutes. It should get this nice opaque look to it. And it basically, by putting a fork into it, it'll start to flake apart. Really perfect. You let it rest for a couple of minutes when it's done. Put the mixture over the top. You could do a couscous, some baby arugula. You could put it over a salad. You could do it with anything. And it's just it's a wonderful dish. I love this thing. And we're serving tonight. I know it'll be too late for your listeners to get here from wherever they are in the country. But it's something I just finished preparing for the restaurant tonight, which is really cool. And it's a lot of fun to do the dish that we're going to be talking about today at the restaurant. So.
Well, you'll have to print off, and folks, head over to cardiochef.com. Make sure you subscribe so you get the recipes ahead of time along with analysis. So you could actually kind of print off the analysis and the recipe and put it up there so folks can read about all the healthy things that they're getting while they're enjoying the food. And one of the things that folks may not be familiar with, but is very common in Mediterranean cooking, are capers. And there's sort of a difference between capers, which are the buds, and then caper berries, which if you don't pick off the buds, it'll flower, and then you get a fruit after. And so the caper berries are bigger. And in this recipe, we're specifically using capers. And you said you like to use the ones that are in pickled in vinegar, correct?
The pickled in vinegar, I like using those. But I will tell you, caper berries make excellent condiments for martinis, which we should try someday. I'm letting you know that if you instead of using an olive, use a caper berry in your martini and or your Bloody Mary, I think you'll be a happy person because it just has that briny richness that you would get if you did an olive, but it has a whole different flavor profile, and it's wonderful to use.
And folks don't realize that capers, which I actually love, one of my favorite things is sort of a white wine and lemon caper sauce for a lot of fish.
Yeah.
And capers are actually high in very powerful flavonoids, rutin and quercetin. Quercetin is one of the polyphenols that is found in wine, particularly red wine, that they think is responsible or at least contributory in terms of all the health benefits we see from the consumption. So these capers, although they're really small and they are really flavorful, so you don't need to put a ton of them in, but they're incredible antioxidants. They've got a strong, really dramatic anti-inflammatory property. And they're also, if you're a little bit sore, you've been working out in the kitchen like you 18 hours a day, they contain a little bit of a natural analgesic as well. So while you're munching on that, you're going to feel a little bit more, relaxed.
Well, I was about to say all that too, but I didn't know any of it. So this is perfect. But that's it. I think that's why we work so well together, Mike, because all that stuff, and it's just natural part of our recipe and our diet that we live in every day here at the restaurant. And when I go out and I teach, so it's kind of fun. And I'm glad. Trust me, I'll be eating capers on the line tonight. You'll see.
Well, but you bring the most important part. We can talk about, and we do in a sort of a sterile, removed way about the health benefits. This is good, this isn't. But it's all about, the way you source, you get these great ingredients. And I know we've harped on this before, folks, but it's all about sourcing. It's all about starting with the good stuff. And you do such a great job. I look in all your recipes and I see this real artistry because it's not about showing what you can do with this foam or that foam. The artistry, I think, in the kitchen is about restraint and a few ingredients. Let this cod and these wonderful seasonal ingredients sing their song. And before we go for today's CPR, Luca, tell folks where they can find you real quick.
Well, you go to lucaparis.com. You'll see a bunch of stuff with me. Just find me anywhere. Go on Facebook to Luca Paris. And I have plenty of links for videos and shows, and you can find me on YouTube and Culinary Journey. I'm everywhere you want to find me, or just give me an email, luca@lucascafe.com, and I'd love to send you some of the recipes we've talked about or even answer some questions, so that would be great.
Oh, that's great. A great resource for all of us folks. And again, don't forget to send me what your thoughts are on Twitter at WCWD and head over to cardiochef.com as well to make sure that you get the newsletter each week before the show. Until we meet again, this is Dr. Mike saying, may the only pain in your life be champagne.